It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for listening. You're each treasured, valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Jen, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I do appreciate all the support that you give us as well. We are an independent voice, research for truth and clarity, by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, the latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation. Those numbers that just came out were at 7%. It says that things are costing you 7% more, but actually, if they really were honest about how they calculated those numbers, it would be even greater. And you guys all know that because you're going to the grocery store, you're going to the gas pump, and prices are going up more than 7% there. Producer Steve, it is Friday, one of your favorite days of the week.
It is. And again, the week, looking back on it, it is a blur. But as you're doing each individual day, it just seems like, you know, not in a negative way, but the daily grind. But the next thing you know, it's Friday. And I just think of what you're just saying about going to the gas station, and it really hit home. In the Denver metro area, we have to burn a higher blend of ethanol, which means your gas mileage drops off. So you're not getting as much out of a tank full. And then you run right back for more of the high-priced gas. I mean, they got you coming and going.
They really do. And this legislature actually passed some new gas fees. But guess what? Those are not going to go into effect now until after the next election. Because a lot of people did not know this. And because there's so much legislation that's coming out, the legislature is now in session. They went into session on Wednesday. But it's really dishonest. If you're passing legislation that you know, they know people are not going to like it, and have it go into effect after the next election, it's like, come on. You know, if you're going to make a decision, at least stand by it. Right, Steve?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I maybe I should just shut up. I get too repetitive here at this microphone. The most blatant and obvious things that they do anymore that are obviously not in anyone's best interest, why do they do it? Why do they say the things they do? Because they know nobody's really paying attention. And, you know, when I say nobody, I don't mean obviously nobody, but the, you know, the larger masses are just clueless as to what's being done to them on a daily basis.
But they're starting to pay attention because it is affecting their lives.
Yes.
And that is why we continue to grow and people trust us. We are searching for truth and clarity, and we are committed to make sure that that happens. And so check out the website. We've got the recaps and podcasts of the shows there, and that's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And again, thank you to all of you who support us. Check out America's Veteran Stories, which this will broadcast this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. And Nick Hall, he is a Marine veteran, served during the Afghan War, and we recorded that yesterday. Young guy, and a really fascinating story. And it's great to get some of the younger guys' stories as well, Producer Steve.
It is. And this young man, well, young man, young compared to me, so well-spoken, so articulate, so able to paint a great word picture. And Afghanistan, I mean, we think of World War II, at least the European version of or segment of World War II, and it was obviously war is war, I guess. But there was, in these conflicts that we've seen in the last three decades or so, there seems to be a higher level of brutality that one side will throw against another. And he talked about some of those things, and it's not a pretty picture.
Right. Yeah, he was a mortarman. And in some ways, warfare has changed, and in other ways, it hasn't. But war is terrible. But we're so lucky. We're so blessed that there are those that are willing to put on the uniform. And he was talking about one duty that they had, and I think it was for about 2.5 months. Now I can't remember, but they were on duty for 4 hours and then off. But they didn't really get to sleep for those 4 hours that they were off. There were duties that had to be done. And you can just imagine the grueling schedule that they kept. And so fascinating. Be sure and check it out. It is on Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. And then Charlie has in the queue last week's America's Veteran Stories plays at 10 to 11 on Sunday. And then it plays again the next Saturday, the next Sunday, and then the next Saturday they play it again. So you've got three opportunities there. Be sure and check that out. And then today, 9 to 10 a.m., is Reggie Carr's I'm a Uniter show. And be sure and check that out as well. I never know what I'm going to learn from that show, but it's a great, great show that they're putting together. My show comes to you because of great sponsors, and one of them is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That's Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m., and really looks great. They have half-off appetizers like buffalo shrimp and beer cheese pretzels and boneless wings and lots of tots. And also kids eat free on Saturdays, and also lunch specials. Again, those are Monday through Friday, and that's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., so be sure and check that out. Steve, I want to jump over here before we get into really the two big headlines there. And the first is, let's talk about our quote for today, and this really hit me. Somebody gave me it's a 365-day days of inspiration, the wisdom of Fulton Sheen. And Fulton Sheen was born in 1895, died in 1979. He was an American bishop of the Catholic Church, known for his preaching and especially his work on television and radio. He was ordained a priest of the Diocese of Peoria in 1919. He quickly became a renowned theologian, earning the Cardinal Mercier Prize for International Philosophy in 1923. And this is really thought-provoking. He said, "The refusal to take sides on great moral issues is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction." What do you think of that, Steve?
I'm sorry, I was talking to Steve Cruz. So let me get back into it. I guess it was with my time in the military, one of the instructors in technical school, he'd like to say that, you know, you sit around, you're doing nothing, you're still making a decision. And, you sat down, you thought about it, it's like, well, gee, that's kind of true.
Well, it is true. And we do have these big decisions out there. Two things happened before we get to Steve Cruz with 3 Points Financial. Two things happened yesterday. Very important. And Kyrsten Sinema, who is a senator from Arizona, actually said she was going to uphold the Senate filibuster. What Chuck Schumer was trying to do is in the Senate, you're supposed to have, for new legislation, my understanding, at least 60 votes. And the reason is so that just that simple majority can't really make these big decisions. The Senate is supposed to be more of a contemplative body of government. And so they put that threshold in there to kind of tap the brakes on some potential really bad ideas. Chuck Schumer has been wanting to torch that. by getting rid of the filibuster. And yesterday, Kyrsten Sinema said that she was going to uphold the filibuster. And I think we owe her a debt of gratitude. In fact, I was with a friend yesterday, and she said that she sent a thank you to both Kyrsten Sinema and to Joe Manchin. But I was looking at an MSN.com article, and Senator Michael Bennett from the state of Colorado, he's up for re-election. He said this, it's impossible to argue that this place functions better today than when Joe Biden was here, said Senator Michael Bennett. And he said, without singling Sinema out, Bennett said, today's Senate was not worthy of defense. Wow. A sitting senator from Colorado would say that. He's sent there to be our representative and to uphold the Constitution. And it is very clear that that is not something that he would do. So he needs to be replaced, Producer Steve.
Amen. And as you said about a month or so ago, the line of people queuing up to take his place seems to be growing.
Well, and it has, although right now I think we're at 7. And really, really good candidates. Ideally, I wish some of them would peel off. We need a candidate for, I think, state treasurer. I don't know if we have somebody yet. Attorney general. These are really important races. And so anyway, but Michael Bennett, we know where he stands. He's been pretty invisible. The other
and we know where he lives. And it's not here. It's in Washington. But yes, he has a formal address here, and he comes out for photo ops. Otherwise, you can't find him out here.
He's right. Right.
Hey, you know, there were two things going down yesterday. Kyrsten Sinema was one of them. The other one was Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton got up in front of the Senate. And I saw the video. It's hilarious. He's standing there at his little podium with the microphone, and there's an empty easel right next to him. You know, they usually put some kind of visual up. And he says, I want to make some comments on the filibuster here, but I want to get some help from this guy. And he reaches down at his feet, and there is a nice poster-sized picture of Chuck Schumer. And he puts it on the easel, and he says, let's have this distinguished gentleman help us with this. And basically, Cotton goes on to use Schumer's words, because we played him a couple days ago, that cut from 2005, and then the one from last week, one where he's for the filibuster, and the other time he's not for the filibuster. So, you know, the theater, if that's the right word, the comedy value of it was just hysterical.
True, and he was right in 2005, and the Republicans that... you know what? And I should go back and study that a little bit more, but I'm just going to say Schumer's words in 2005 were correct. The other big thing that happened yesterday was the Supreme Court ruled that, and they call it the conservative 6-member majority of the Supreme Court. And when we talked to Rob Nadelson, he says this is not really a conservative Supreme Court. But what they did is they blocked President Joe Biden's vaccination or testing requirement for employees at large businesses after it concluded that OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, had stepped out of its lane when it implemented the mandate. But it says, but a bare 5-member majority of the court upheld Biden's vaccination requirement for health care workers at facilities that treat Medicare or Medicaid patients. And it says in the first case, the 3 liberal justices, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan, dissented. In the second case, guess what? Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh joined them. They got it right on the first one, but they didn't get it right on the second one, because we're supposed to all be equal under the law. And so, unfortunately, we got half a victory there. And bear in mind that those that are continuing to want to push these mandates, they never sleep. As we go back to Bishop Fulton Sheen's quote there, they are full of passionate conviction. Although I feel that those of us that love this country and love our freedoms and liberties are full of, we're getting more passionate conviction as well. Let's jump over here to Steve Kruse. He is a co-founder with Mary Alpers of 3 Points Financial, and they are a fee-only based investment firm. They're located in Colorado Springs, and they really look at the kind of the whole person, I would say. They're experts, though, on the investment side. And Steve Kruse, it's tax time. People need to be preparing for that. Welcome to the show.
morning, Kim.
So, tax preparation. What should people be doing, Steve?
Yeah, so I just want to share a few tips as people start getting those tax documents rolling in, start preparing for taxes. So the first thing is for the 2021 filing season, it opens, the IRS will start accepting returns on January 24th. And the actual due date for filing is actually Monday, April 18th, October 17th. We file an extension due to Washington's Emancipation Day falling on Friday, April 15th. So that's one thing just to be aware of. It's not April 15th this year. And then more and more companies are delivering tax documents electronically. And every year I see a number of people missing a few of their 1099 tax documents for bank and investment accounts. So just be sure that you log into your bank and investment accounts to ensure that you get all those income documents. And the IRS receives copies of those directly from the banks and investment companies. So it's really easy for them to identify returns that are, have accidentally excluded that 1099 income, which causes a delay in processing a return. And I don't think any of us want them to hold our money any longer than, we have to. So right. And the next thing, IRA contributions. So both traditional Roth accounts, you can actually make contributions to those up to the tax filing deadline for the previous year. So just take a look. That might be, kind of a last second tax saver that people out there can do. Just before making contributions, just make sure you qualify based on your income. And then finally, if anyone out there has received a stimulus check in 2021 or received the advanced child tax credit payments in 2021, you should get letters saying how much you received. And so just make sure that you retain those so that you can, again, file an accurate return. And many times we see a communication gap between a person's tax preparer and their financial advisor, and that can cause issue when those communication lapses happen. So our clients at Three Points Financial, they love having the investments, financial retirement planning, and taxes all in one place. Simplifies their life and ensures that the tax saving planning recommendations actually make it onto the tax return.
I find it remarkable that is something that you and Mary do, Steve, and that is actual tax preparation as well. And as you mentioned, that makes sure, and I know that it can happen as the communication, and it just, happens in regular life that sometimes things don't get communicated. So the fact that you have offer the complete realm of services is really, really helpful, I think, for people. And I know that your clients are longtime clients, and it's just, I think it's a great thing what you guys do for your clients.
Yeah, they love it. They love having everything in one spot.
Okay. People can get more information by going to your website. What is that website, Steve Cruz?
Yeah, the website is www.threepointsfinancial.com, and that's three spelled out, threepointsfinancial.com. There's a contact us page, and then there's a simple, brief little form they can fill out and actually book a time with us right there on the website and get a call scheduled and start from there.
Question, new clients coming in now in 2022, would you be, if they sign up with you, would you do their 2021 taxes as well?
Most likely we would, again, depending on timing. If it's closer to the tax deadline and we may not have time to do it, what we typically do then is say, hey, send us a copy of your return before you file it, and we will review it to make sure that it seems accurate. But if they came in January, February, and even March, we would be able to put them into the tax preparation slot as well. And we do have locations in Denver area and then Colorado Springs area, and so we have a pretty good reach as far as where people are at here in Colorado.
Well, most definitely. And of course, then so many things can be done electronically and over the phone as well. So Steve Cruz, Three Points Financial, be sure and check that out. That's Three Points with an S, financial.com, threepointsfinancial.com. We'll talk to either you or Mary again next week. You have a great weekend.
Thanks, Kim. You too. Bye.
Okay. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Laurel Eimer, who is a candidate for CD7. So stay tuned.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. Three Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at the issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Laurel Eimer. And she was out early. She declared that she was running for Congress, Congressional District 7. Ed Perlmutter was the congressman, and he's decided not to run for reelection. Laurel Eimer, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Doing well. And what'd you think when you heard that Ed Perlmutter decided that he's not going to run for reelection?
Well, I was not surprised. He's just going to be one of a growing list of Democrats. I think we're up to, 28 now that are going to choose to exit before they are fired by the American people and their vote in 2022.
Well put, Laurel. So there's so much going on out there. One of the things that people are so concerned about is our economy and also these vaccine mandates. What's your stance on those two important issues?
Well, on the vaccine mandates, I mean, I stand absolutely with the American people and freedom. We have freedom of choice in America, and we have medical freedom, and we have rights. And there is never an opportunity for the government to mandate what we put in our bodies or what we choose to do with our bodies. It's a private decision between ourselves and our doctor and no one else. And I'm particularly disturbed about the idea of forcing vaccines on children. This whole process has completely eroded parental rights, and that is one of the things that I stand for. I've been on the ground fighting with the vaccine against vaccine mandates of any type for a long time. I have stood arm in arm with friends and citizens at the Capitol fighting for this. This is something that is not new. It is just becoming much more dictatorial from our government level. And then it also affects the economy. You know, we have administration that has forced decisions that have then forced businesses, hospitals specifically, to fire workers because they're unvaccinated. So now we have a shortage of workers in the middle of this crisis that the government created, where we don't have enough workers to take care of the people who are sick. And it's a cycle that must end. And we must allow free choice to come back into the workplace and allow citizens to be free to choose.
Okay. What about inflation? The numbers just came out, and it was up 7%. I think it's actually up more. What's your comments on inflation?
Well, you know, when the government believes that money grows on trees, this is the result. The government cannot continue to print money and expect it not to reflect inflationary increase. We have inflation numbers that are higher, the highest they've been in 40 years. We have a Fed who doesn't have a clue what they're doing. You know, we need to put people back to work. We don't need to print money and give people free money and a free ride, because all it does is raise prices at the pump, at the grocery store, and make it more difficult for American families. And we need to stick to policies that will allow families to have more money in their pocket, more money, save money at the gas pump. I mean, and then in addition to the inflation crisis, you also have got a shortage of products because we cannot get products to the shelves of the grocery stores. And now we have grocery stores that are striking. So now we don't have workers in the grocery stores to deal with the fact that we're overloaded and understaffed. So I think that the entire thing is a disaster of the Biden administration's policies.
Okay. Next question, national security.
Well, as far as national security goes, I'm going to take that as a border question, because I believe that securing the border is a number one priority to keep America as a sovereign nation. And the more that we continue to allow illegal citizens, well, they're not citizens, illegals, to come into our country to parade as citizens, we're doing a harm to real legal citizenship. And when we're talking about vaccines and we're talking about illness, we're bringing people across the border that are not tested, that are not checked, that are not regulated in any way. And then we wonder why we have a quote unquote pandemic happening in America. We must secure the border. I am about any policy that looks at America first. I do not agree with the globalist perspective. I agree that there are problems with China, with Russia, with Iran and different countries, but until we can focus on making America safe first, taking care of America's citizens, American borders, and American people, then we can look at what we can do for the rest of the world.
Okay. And last question, election integrity. What's your thoughts on that?
That's the difficult question for everybody, because depending on the answer of that, then you're considered a conspiracy theorist and a wacko. I do believe absolutely that there is fraud and was fraud in the 2020 election. I believe that every American citizen has the right to vote, and they should be able to vote, but they must be citizens and they must present an ID. We just saw policy coming out of Washington, D.C. from the mayor there, that she is forcing everyone to present an ID to enter any business in Washington, D.C. That goes into effect this weekend. But yet she will not require citizens to present an ID to vote. So we have to have an ID in America in some of our cities to shop, to go to the gym, to go to the movies, to go to the theater. But we do not have an ID to vote. Voting is a fundamental right of American citizens. And in order to keep that process clean, pure, and legal, we must adhere to the fact that you must be a citizen. And the way to prove that is with an ID. Now, we also have an issue with IDs, I got to be honest, because we have places like California, and Colorado is one of them, where we give illegal aliens IDs. So even presenting an ID to vote is not a foolproof system to make sure that we're stopping illegal citizens from voting. We need to go deeper than that. And I also believe that we need to stop mail-in balloting. We need to go back to voting on Election Day. I believe that Election Day should be a national holiday. That way we have no excuses for people who cannot show up. I also believe that it should possibly be extended by a day or two, but not a month or not a season, as the left dictates. Maybe a day or two to allow the population that we have to vote in person with no excuses, with verification of citizenship.
Okay, Laurel Eimer, there you have it. How can people get more information about you?
They can reach me at laureleimerforcongress.com is our website. I'm also on Facebook, Laurel Eimer for Colorado, and on our website, of course, is our, you know, our basic information. Our Facebook page is more personalized. You can get to know me there. I'm available. You can always reach out to me. I will respond to you, and I look forward to your support. And, you know, I appreciate your time, Kim.
Okay, thank you. And that's Laurel Eimer. She is a candidate for CD7. Okay, our show comes to you because I have a lot of great sponsors. And just a note regarding candidates out there, each and every candidate that reaches out to me, I will put you on the show because I think it's important that that the Coloradans get to hear a little more in depth what each of these candidates stand for. So I so appreciate Laurel Eimer calling in today. And this happens because I get to work with many sponsors, and I so appreciate my sponsors. And I get to work with a lot of great people, great sponsors. One of those is Hal Van Herke. He is the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. He and his wife, Linnea, are true entrepreneurs and you're great sponsors of both the shows that I have. Hal Van Herke, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be here. I don't always get to make it right in studio, so it's a special treat.
It is a special treat for sure. And we're going to be talking with Pam Long in the segments 3 and 4. She has written an op-ed. You can find it at kimmunson.com. She's put a lot of time into it, a lot of links there, so she's really sourced everything. And it's the best and the worst of Colorado politics in 2021. And I know that you have read that.
Yeah, I happened to get it. I think I'm on your email distribution list, or I saw it on your Facebook page or something. And took the time to read it because it was local and a lot of stuff went on this year. And I wanted to see what her take on it was. And it's quite impressive. I mean, but without getting into all the details of what happened, because I'm sure she's going to, you know, is going to do that extensively. What I got out of it was, you know, this battle for doing the right versus wrong, or good versus evil,
or freedom versus force,
is just, it's not an abstract concept. It's happening all around us every day, especially over the last couple of years, and it's going to continue this year. You've got meetings going on in your local gymnasium, or in the local town hall, or in the park near you, or in a conference room that they don't want you to know about or try to keep you out of. Every minute of every day, trying to decide your fate and decide whether you're going to have more freedom or less freedom. Right this minute, as we're talking, there's a group of bureaucrats somewhere in Colorado plotting how they can take somebody's freedom away. I mean, it's never ending. And there were some huge stories in that article about what happens when citizens get involved and what happens when they don't, and how vigilant we have to be to keep our freedoms in this state. And there were some huge wins and some huge losses, and one of the key factors in the wins is when the public managed to corner their elected and sometimes unelected bureaucrats in a corner long enough and make them listen and let them understand what they wanted, then occasionally those public servants reacted, you know, and did something intelligent versus just lock down, shut down, restrict, you know, violate rights, et cetera. And so we had some positive wins. We had a bunch of big losses in terms of setting freedom back. But the key thing was getting involved in holding your local community officials accountable, whether it's the school board, the water board, the transportation board, the city council, the mayor, the governor, the governor's communication office, whatever it is, pick something that you have a pet peeve about and go sit on them, you know, until, you know, be at the meetings, read their newsletters, call them out when they need to be called out, let them know that somebody's watching.
And that is really important, because I think that we have, in many ways, we've abdicated our civic duty because we thought that people that were in these positions really cared about everyday people. We realize that's not the case. So it is a powerful piece. Thanks for reading that. And I'm excited to talk with her about it.
Yeah, she did a great job. It's great. I encourage everybody to read it.
Okay. Well, Hal Van Herke, Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you're a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tools, the place for you. We'll be right back with Pam Long.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. Last week, we rolled out a really important op-ed that Pam Long has written. It is very well researched, documented. She is a graduate of West Point and a former captain in the Army Medical Service Corps. Great to have you here, Pam Long. And we gave a teaser last week, but really we need to delve into this a bit more. So welcome to the show.
Glad to be back. Happy Freedom Friday.
Happy Freedom Friday to you. Where do you want to start with this very important piece that you've written?
Well, you know, I've written what is a menu of how to lean in locally. And if you don't fight for what you love, don't cry for what you lose. And so there's so many opportunities in here just to plug in and engage. And, you know, what will you do in 2022, you know, for freedom? So I think maybe a good starting point is with looking at the state health department, CDPHE, and just maybe attending an online meeting. The fact that they're still having online meetings only is an indicator that they are putting a barrier between themselves and the public. And we need to demand that these meetings are in person. We're going back to school. We're going back to work. We have been for a very long time. And we need the basic elements of democracy restored, where we can get a glimpse on, are these really public health experts? Are they really making evidence-based decisions? Or are they just parroting the CDC's failed policies of wear a mask, get your vaccine? I would offer up that the whole mask, test, vax, vent, that is not a treatment. Those are being portrayed as treatments for this crisis. Treatments are, an example would be El Salvador, where they are putting exercise commercials on TV and sending health kits to their citizens with ivermectin, of all things, and some other items to do early home treatment. So, you know, I would start with the state health department and just getting to hear firsthand how we are being, the information that is being disseminated to the local level.
Well, and a couple of things on that, and I think I mentioned this, and I did some additional research on that. And I'm like, how did they get so much power? And it is a piece of legislation. It's called a Title 25. And it's the Colorado Revised Statutes. The latest one that I could find was it had been revised again in 2019. And if you look at this, Pam, it's over 1,000, it's over 1,100 pages long. Our legislature has passed legislation that has given so much power to the CDPHE. You're absolutely right. We need to be understanding what's going on. And the wheels are coming off the bus on the narrative, because people are going, wait a minute. I'm double vaxxed, I'm boosted, and I still got COVID. And so the wheels are coming off this narrative. So that's a good place to start for sure, Pam Long.
Right. And then from there, if people feel intimidated to engage at the state level, there's always opportunities at the local level. You can get involved in your public health meetings, your school boards, legislation at the Capitol, your local chamber of commerce can be very influential and push back in elections. I mean, for example, you know, we have elections coming up and we have a Secretary of State who is under fire for not being transparent with some of the election issues we had in the prior election. And you know, Pam Anderson out of Jefferson County is a conservative candidate running against her. She's a very experienced clerk and recorder, and she's been the president of all the clerk and recorders. I mean, if you just go on her website, and maybe this is the year where you've never cared about elections before, but maybe it's time for the old Secretary of State to step aside and you get out there and you canvass for a candidate that's running against some of these people in positions that are evidence that they are not supporting transparency, for example, in our elections.
And to that note, there is another candidate also that's running for Colorado Secretary of State. And I think they've already reached out to get on the show. And Pam certainly is welcome to get on. One thing regarding Pam, and I need to do a little bit of research on that, is that, Mark Zuckerberg spent a lot of money on a number of these elections. And I need to do a little bit more research on that. But my understanding is that she might have been involved with that particular initiative. So I'm still doing some additional research on that, Pam Long. Before we go to break, somebody had mentioned to me, as you closed the piece, you said that we need to have men show up. And he said, does she mean that we really need to have men show up at meetings because it's been primarily women and kids with their kids? Or what's your comments about that, saying that men need to show up at these local health board meetings and county commissioner meetings?
That's exactly what I mean. Literally, men need to show up because oftentimes it is just women and children. And these people in positions, unelected positions, will gaslight women and children. And we've seen several examples in different counties, in different states, where when the room is, the majority is men, that there's a different outcome, that they listen and that they are held accountable. And then they cannot just make statements that are not based in fact and truth. And so, you know, I'm all for men and women in equality in politics, but it brings a whole new level of strength when men lead.
Well, and do you not think that this movement to really, over the last 30 years, let's say, that in a way I think has really emasculated men, and it started with the feminist movement, I think. And it's kind of tried to put strong men in the background, and it is important that men do stand up. But I think from a societal standpoint, there's been an effort to really tap down their voices, Pam.
Right. So the critical race theory, the basis of it is that there's oppressors and oppressed, and we really need to step out of that paradigm. That there's right and there's wrong. And so we just need to lean in to right and wrong, fact and truth, and not identity in our gender, in skin color, and level of oppression.
Well, definitely. And so your point there that men need to also attend these meetings, women need to continue that as well. I remember one of those early vaccine pieces of legislation. I went down to the Capitol. It was late by design. What some of these state legislators have done when people have showed up and wanted to make statements. And I saw women with their little kids late into the night, and that was by design, but they showed up, and that particular piece of legislation did not pass. But it would also be great to have men show up there as well. Let's go to break. I'm talking with Pam Long about her very important piece, which is The Best and Worst of Colorado Politics in 2021. It is on my website. Before we go to break, Kirsch Insurance Group is another great sponsor of the show. And they are specialists in the Medicare arena. They're brokers. They work with a lot of different companies, so they can help you craft your plan for you. And there's some new things out there that you need to be aware of. It doesn't cost you anything to reach out to Kirsch Insurance Group to just determine where you are with your Advantage plan right now. You can make changes on that until the end of March. Their website is iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com, and that's KIRSCH.com. We'll be right back with Pam Long.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Don't miss your chance to hear from the Republican Senate candidates as they go up against Senator Michael Bennet. Longmont Republican Women present a Republican Senate Candidate Forum on Saturday, January 29th at Twin Peaks Charter Academy in Longmont. Doors open at 6 p.m., dinner is provided, and forum starts promptly at 7 p.m. Tickets cost $35 and no tickets will be sold at the door. Our very own Kim Munson will be moderating, so you don't want to miss it. Get your tickets at longmontrepublicanwomen.org today. Once again, find more information and get your tickets at longmontrepublicanwomen.org.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Pam Long. She is a graduate of West Point. She is a former captain in the Army Medical Service Corps. And she's written this really important piece, which is The Best and Worst of Colorado Politics in 2021. Last week, we did mention the worst public health leader, which was Don Comstock. But I think we should revisit that just a little bit, if in case people did not happen to hear that show, Pam Long. So explain why Don Comstock received that award as the worst public health leader.
Well, she hired herself to be the public health director of Jefferson County. She was on the Board of Health. She was the lead person in charge of the criteria. She changed the criteria to make herself eligible. She did, you know, there were applicants, but ultimately she hired herself. That in and of itself should be some type of ethical violation. And
you
she
think?
Has should be challenged. And so she has just been unhinged. I mean, calling for the unvaccinated not to be able to go in public places, telling people not to even shop at Jeffco businesses because she is not content enough with the mask compliance, and bullying the school superintendent into compliance in some very public emails that were a result of a CORE request of, you know, just do this because, you know, I don't think I can get away with it. And, you know, to paraphrase, you know, I might get sued. So, I mean, there's some really shady stuff going on behind the scenes, and it's all public now. There's a group on Facebook, Jeffco Kids First, about at least 5,000 people, trying to get these county commissioners to remove her from her position.
And again, she wrote the criteria. She basically hired herself, and then she, what she has done regarding shutting down much of Jefferson County, their businesses, making it difficult for them. And then, as you mentioned, bullying the school board superintendent. Let's talk about Governor Polis. You said he had a, let's go to his best decision first and then his worst decision.
So his best decision was not continuing that eviction moratorium where, you know, people who own properties could not collect rent. That was deemed illegal by the Supreme Court after a year of implementation. Some governors did continue to extend it. That's a terrible policy based in socialism. His best decision was not to renew the mask mandate, which is, in his words, he said, public health officials don't get to tell people what to wear. That's just not their job. Well, that is a candidate speaking, not a governor speaking. He's running for reelection, and what I call this is election year whiplash. You should expect to hear people completely 180 on terrible policies, right? Mm-hmm. If this was a good policy to force people to wear a medical device, which is what a mask is, one size fits all for all conditions and ages, then they would, you know, they would continue it. But he wants your vote. So he, in the counties that don't have mask mandates, are loving their freedom and enjoying it. And we welcome all people into our counties to enjoy freedom. So, you know, you're seeing it not only with our governor, but you're seeing it with the CDC admitting that, you know, most people, 75% of people who died with COVID was for some comorbid condition. You're seeing it in the media with even Kyle Clark, who won the worst media award for his very, biased reporting. He likes to attack Republican women on a weekly basis, myself included. But he just said this week that they're no longer reporting, you know, everyone who is positive in the hospital isn't actually there for COVID, that they could have other issues. Like, I think he used the example of like a broken bone, and that's what they're in the hospital for, their primary treatment. Of course, conservatives have been saying this for 2 years. I mean, we have just all been in a big, massive illustration of how you lie with data and statistics, that that not everyone in the hospital is dying of COVID.
Well, and this narrative, this false narrative is very hurtful. And if people only listen to Kyle Clark, you can see why people are afraid. That's why they need to add in a repertoire of other places to look at these issues as well. And that's what we do here at the Kim Munson Show, is look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, searching for truth and clarity all of the time. Let's talk a little bit about best media. You said the doctors of early treatment protocols, and they were so attacked. So they received the best award there, Pam Long.
Yes, there are actually doctors, not our major, you know, medical schools. For some reason, they have been silent for 2 years. Mostly they are sponsored by pharmaceutical companies, so that likely has something to do with their silence. But there are independent organizations such as American Physicians and Surgeons, and with a guide to home-based treatment. I have used some of their recommendations myself, just a simple diluted iodine spray in, you know, the nose and mouth to reduce your viral load so you don't progress to a more serious form of a respiratory disease. This is not even specific to COVID. This is any respiratory disease. You know, why haven't we been hearing our public health experts tell us these very simple, cost-effective, widely available type of interventions that will keep us out of the hospital? But instead, you know, we've only heard the actual guidance is go home until you're basically blue, literally blue, and then come back, and then we'll do some type of high-end, you know, very profitable for the hospital system, you know, drug or ventilation. And if ventilation was world-class treatment, then we would see world leaders being ventilated, but we don't. I don't know a single world leader or state government leader or national government leader that has, you know, told us the great things about ventilation. Ventilation is last case resort. You know, 99% of people will not recover from ventilation. And so there's also the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance that I referenced, and they have a very extensive protocol for four different categories: prevention, outpatient, hospitalized patients, and recovery.
Clarification on that, Pam. You said very expensive. Was that the word that you wanted to use?
Extensive. I'm sorry. I'm overcoming some voice issues here this morning.
Extensive, not expensive. Okay. It's probably my ears, but that's an important clarification to make. So extensive. So continue on.
Just, you know, they give an outline of four phases: prevention, outpatients, hospitalized patients, and recovery. You know, and recommendations for what phase a person might be in the infection cycle. This virus does come with, you know, it hits some people really hard. Even myself, I had a version in September that kind of blindsided me that how severe a case I had. And, you know, there's just some things that, simple things like some certain supplements like methyl B12 will help with the fatigue, or So I will leave it to them. I reference them and link them, the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance and the American Physicians and Surgeons. And I'm open to any medical school or institution offering any type of proactive treatment. We should not be letting people think there's nothing, that other countries are doing this much better than we are.
Boy, we have to ask ourselves why. Pam Long, we have a minute left. How would you like to wrap this whole thing up today?
Again, this op-ed is a menu of what will you do in 2022. You really have to fight for what you love and step out of the narrative of fighting against what you hate, and showing that you are fighting for what is best for all people, not just a small group of people, and not letting us get backed into a corner of the villains or the bad guys. That we have to bring truth and positive evidence-based outcomes. And really, for our young people, I think of Boulder. You know, there's a lawsuit against Boulder that's requiring a mandate on vaccines and masks. Their mental health depends on us to fight for those kids, those college kids, and our younger kids.
Well, this is an important piece. I know you spent a lot of time on it. It's very well researched. You have the links in there. Pam Long, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
And again, you can find that piece at my website, and it is The Best and Worst of Colorado Politics 2021. Our quote for the end of the day is, again, from Bishop Fulton Sheen. He said, "Broad-mindedness, when it means indifference to right and wrong, eventually ends in a hatred of what is right." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new